episode is sponsored by WeHaveMerch.com. WeHaveMerch.com. Prices starting at only $12.99. Sizes up to 6XL. 17 different shirt designs. Buy two shirts and get a bigger discount. Anybody that buys three shirts gets a 10-minute guest spot on Cool Kids Countdown. Buy one now. This episode is also sponsored by the following. Shootin' the Shiznit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. This month, by just retweeting an episode, you will be entered to win a month's supply of Spunk Lube, an all-in Shootin' the Shiznit shirt, and an all-in poster.
American Hostile Tavisset Wrestling presents Fall Brawl 2018 on October 6th in Kenner, Missouri. Doors open at 6. Bell time, 7:30. Event will be held at the American Legion Building, 1615 First Street. Featuring WWE Hall of Famer Coco Beware, Memphis wrestling icon Bill Superstar Dundee, All-In Sensation Marco Stunt, along with stars such as Austin Lane, Missouri Bad Boys, Naughty by Nature Rude. That's October 6, 2018, Kenner, Missouri, 1615 First Street. The American Legion Building. Doors open at 6. Bell time, 7:30. Be there.
Have you listened to last week's episode, the week before, or all the episodes? By the way, all of them are at www.stspod.club and all of the fine podcast players. Now on with the show.
You got me, beat me down, do you think you're on top? Well, I'm not when you left me, I've been picking up steam and I pick myself up, I'm stronger this time.
Hey, we're live at STS Studios and I have Gene Jackson just coming in from the green room. Gene, tonight we're not doing our regular show, we'll be doing it in a couple weeks. What I want to do is bring you on. And, you know, I've had you on talking about going to cons before, but guess what? I went to this one, too, and we finally found you after the second or third day. but I want to talk to you about your experience, because me and you, it's crazy, but after All In the other night, I got lost first. I don't know if I even told you that story in the car, but I actually got lost. Come to find out, my sugar was so low that when I was babbling to you the other night, I can't really, I know we talked about wrestling, but I really, I was like lost from All In to that main event place that we were, but it was because my sugar had dropped and it was almost like I was intoxicated. It was really weird. But you, I love this story. You text me or call me and I told you we was already gone. That's what my wife said. She said, "What did you just tell him?" And I said, "We're gone." She said, "We just pulled out of the parking lot." So I was delirious. I really was. And I had, she said, "Well, let me get you a candy bar. You call him back." So she got me a candy bar, called him back. But this is part of the story. I want people to talk. I talk about Uber Eats. I'm actually putting them over, trying to get some kickback for me. But Uber was going to charge you what to go back to your hotel? Tell about that, and then we'll start all over and talk about all the sarcasm and All In.
Oh my God! So we spent like 16 to get out there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and so then after this thing's over with, Rosie goes and keys it in her phone, and it, like, the first one pops up, it's like $78. And then that one goes away before she can even click on it. The next one pops up, it was like $98. Another one was like $102. And meanwhile, there's like 100 people standing out there all looking at their phones, and they're all trying to call Ubers. And guess what? At 11 o'clock on Saturday night, not that many Ubers out around the Sears Center. one of our most poorly planned exits from a show ever. And thank God for you and Misty, because if y'all hadn't come picked us up, and we've seen people walking. I've seen people raising hell on Twitter 2 hours later, still saying they hadn't found a way back to the hotel. I mean, it was bad. But well, I'm glad you cleared that up, because I felt so bad that I told Resident, like, well, hell, they were already on the interstate halfway back to the hotel, and they turned around to come get us, and they come to find out you were just leaving the parking lot. So now I don't feel as bad, but still, y'all definitely saved the day.
Oh, I thought about that. I mean, she went in, she said, I'm going to come in. When I come back out with your candy bar, you call him back. And I was like, okay, you know, and then I called you back. And then after we got to the hotel, I'd eat 4 Reese's Cups, 20 McNuggets, and my sugar still wasn't over 200. So that was, wow. There's no telling what it was when I left the building, or when I finally figured out where the hell she was. And I was funny. I want to tell the listeners, I told you to look for my wife, you know, and then I was like, do you even know what my wife looks like? And she said, I don't know what Jean looks like. She said, but I seen the All In with the Spunk Lube shirt. And she said, well, I knew that had to be him.
How many fat asses in a Spunk Lube shirt can there obviously be at All In?
There we go. So you had a total different experience than I did. We'll put over your – you actually – didn't you and Rosie do a Locals to Legends about this also?
Yeah, we did. All right, cool deal.
We'll put all that over before we get off here, I promise. But your experience is totally different than mine, because I did something totally – me and Lance did something different than you guys did. We went to all the panels, and I want to put over – I wished I had some kind of affiliate link so I could get some money for this, but Fight TV has all the panels, guys. You could buy each one of them individually now after today, or you can get every one of them for like $100. It's well worth it. But you guys did the meet and greets. But first, let's me and you compare. I know we talked about this. I can remember this part. But let's me and you compare ticket prices. What did you pay to get into StarCast?
Oh, must we compare? we went with the platinum bracelets, which ran us about $180 a piece, give or take, with fees and such. Yeah, about $180 a piece, which was supposed to get us, you know, at the front of the line to all the panels and first dibs on all the meet and greets when they went on sale, and a 15% discount on said meet and greets, and then all kinds of other perks, if you will. And I told you in the car, for what you guys did and for what we did, we could have traded bracelets, and it would have served you better and would have served us just as well. Like, all that extra money we spent really was not necessary.
Yeah, so I know between Misty, me, and Lance, okay, 3 of us, we spent pretty much what you spent for one bracelet. And we got into, not knowing this, but, you know, we knew that we were not going to be one of the first in line. We just knew if there was room, we would go. But there was no panels that were totally sold out, except, and we mentioned this on, and Lance and us, Lance and I was talking about this, Bruce Pritchard, Eric Bischoff was totally, you know, pretty much sold out. And the Young Bucks with the weigh-in and everything, that one. But all the others had empty seats. So really, I got in at the same time as a person with your bracelet did, but got in maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes later. And the Conan one, I just sat there for like 2 panels, and they didn't even make us move or anything. One of them, we were sitting in the panel, and they made us get up and go outside, and then we came in and got in the same seat. So, I mean, it was really silly. But, yeah, that's one of those things where I thought was – I didn't criticize it. I guess I am criticizing. The only real criticism I would have is to have maybe us pay more, y'all pay less, or some kind of general, armband thing, because that didn't work.
Well, here, so I know some people are probably listening to this going, well, dummy, you didn't think this out very well. But let me explain what I thought going into this. And I'm going to sound, I already told you this in a private message, but you and Lance sound like the biggest StarCast baby faces of all time. And now I'm going to sound like the shit heel that's coming out here whining. But, you know, I've gone to the Greg Price NWA Legends Fest in Charlotte quite a few times, and I go to WrestleCade every year. And typically, the way these things are laid out when you buy these bracelets and things, the panels or Q&As or whatever you want to call them don't take place at the same time as the meet and greets and the signings and all that stuff. So if you pay for the big expensive, you know, bracelet, you can go to all the panels and you can go be first in line for the meet and greets and all that. And I didn't realize none of the schedule wasn't revealed when these bracelets went on sale. And so it wasn't until later when things schedule started coming out and I realized, well, shit, there's two or three Q&As going on at any given time in different rooms. Plus there's meet and greets going on. And I couldn't make sense of that until all this Fight TV crap started. And I go, oh, that's the deal. You got to make choices so that later you got to watch this shit on TV. And hey, I ain't mad at that. Capitalism, go make some money, Conrad. But had I known how all this was going to play out, I would have known better than to buy the platinum bracelet for what we go to do. Because like I told you in the card, you may not remember, you may have been too low of blood sugar to recall this. But, you know, we go to these things for the meet and greets because I listen to a lot of podcasts. So Bruce Pritchard, Eric Bischoff, none of these guys are going to break any new ground with me. They're not Hall, Nash, Six, all these guys. I've listened to shooter view upon shooter view, podcast upon podcast. I'm not going to hear nothing in any of these things that I haven't heard before. So my thing is I drove 13 hours to Chicago to go meet some people and get some pictures with folks that I haven't, you know, been able to in the past, because I mean, you can look at our Facebook, you can see that's kind of our deal, you know.
Yeah, so. I see that. I mean, you guys do something. See, when I go to, and this is me from Wizard World, not actually Wrestling Cons, because this is the first one I've been to in 30 years. And we did meet and greets, but it was a little different. It was like the panels, but then you got to meet them. They didn't charge you. It was really a lot different back in the day. But that was the first wrestling convention I'd been to since October, 30 years. It had been October, right. Would have been 30 years. So in Wizard World, what you do is they have these panels, but they do try to space them out a little different. Like, you know, if I want to see Randy Orton and, say, Bruce Campbell, which I saw both of those in one weekend, they were like one of them ends at 1:30, the other one starts at 2:45 or something. I mean, at 1:45, they try to do it. Now, when it comes to the meet and greets, you pay in advance, which is exactly what you guys did. And then you just go, you take your little piece of paper that says you got a meet and greet that you paid for, and you stand in line when they're doing it. So say Randy Orton did his meet and greets from 3 to 5 or 3 to 3:30 or whatever, then that's where you get it. And they really, I see what you're saying, which would have been awesome, but they really don't care what panel is going on. Wizard World does it, and StarCast didn't either. I've seen a lot of Wizard Worldness with StarCast because right. I've been there before and I know what, but this is the first time I've been to Wizard World. We go one time. It's like $65 for one day. So we usually just go one day, see all we're going to see, which Saturday's usually the big day for those cons. But, I 3 days for me, I was so beat. Lance stayed for the fourth day. But you guys were, you know, I text you because we wanted to sit down and record something with the sound behind us of the convention. But you guys were on freaking line the whole time you were there.
Dude, we got up. I mean, we were in line from like 8 o'clock in the morning, the one night of the ICP debacle, till 11 o'clock at night. And it was just tiring, man. Like, we needed a vacation from our freaking vacation by the time we got home. And honestly, we went ahead and left out Sunday morning about 11 o'clock just to get a start home. I ended up losing probably over $100 on meet and greets. One, because, well, two of them, because like Sean Mooney, I was supposed to do a promo with him Saturday, and I go looking for him, and he's not where he says he's supposed to be. I finally find him in the hallway walking around. I'm like, hey, man, where are we doing this promo? And he's like, I don't know. They don't know where the backdrop is. Nobody knows where we're doing it. I'm trying to find out. And that was the last time I saw him until Sunday morning when I saw him at the desk checking out of the hotel. So that was like $55 shot to hell. And then Disco Inferno was supposed to be in the vendor room from like 11 to 2 Saturday, and I never seen him in there, and so that one got shot. And then Chuck Taylor and Trent were supposed to be in there Sunday morning, and I went down there an hour. I went off and on for an hour. They were supposed to get there at 10. I went till 11. They still weren't there, and I said, fuck it, let's go. I'm done with this. And so, like I say, we ate shit on about $100 worth of meet and greets, but I was so over it by then. Like, I just wanted to get the hell out of Chicago, period, much less the convention.
I was so tired from, you know, walking around. We did set, I think it was Saturday, it was Friday, I told Lance he could stay for the weigh-in because I'd been sitting on my ass so much. It was tiring to sit on my ass, and then you finally finding you guys to give you your shirt and everything. All right, let's take a quick commercial, and we're going to be right back. We're going to talk with Gene on the other side of this.
This episode is sponsored by WeHaveMerch.com. WeHaveMerch.com. Prices starting at only $12.99. Sizes up to 6XL. 17 different shirt designs. Buy 2 shirts and get a bigger discount. Anybody that buys 3 shirts gets a 10-minute guest spot on Cool Kids Countdown. Buy one now. This episode is also sponsored by the following. The Shiznit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in 4 varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. This month, by just retweeting an episode, you will be entered to win a month's supply of SpunkLube, an all-in Shootin' the Shiznit shirt, and an all-in poster.
We've been talking to Gene Jackson, but also he's been waiting in the green room. I want to bring you on for just a little bit here in the middle of the show so that we can talk about StarCast with him. He had a little bit of a, I guess we could say, controversy. Brendan Martin, who joined us on episode 145. It was the third most downloaded episode of last month. So we got a lot of listeners that listen to it. That's probably listened to this episode. And me and you were the first person I met when I hit the floor the other day. You right there, you had the prime spot there on the right when I walked in. And you met me and Lance. We talked for a little bit. But you had kind of, you walked out the door during the show, the all-in show. And so I wanted to bring you on and talk about that.
I appreciate that, Brian. My other phone is ringing, and I'm trying to shut it up. I apologize for that. Yeah, I didn't really expect things to work out the way they did at StarCast. And the attention that my departure got was a lot bigger than I ever expected.
Well, I mean, you first couple of days, and I seen you next to the last day that you were there, I think, or the last day. I seen you that morning. You had sold every one of the special covers there, or the first cover with Andre. You'd sold those out. So I'm assuming you had a pretty good day. But then you were there at the All In show and not so happy, huh?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I really had a great time at StarCast those first 3 days. It was I sold a few books. I met a lot of great people. I enjoyed seeing all the folks that came and dressed in various cosplay characters. But at the show itself, which I was watching at the hotel at the viewing party because I didn't have tickets to the matches, I was watching and I really enjoyed the women's match, that four-way match. I thought they did a fantastic job and was really impressed with what I saw there. And but you know, I had other opinions about some of the other matches that I saw that probably aren't relevant and nobody cares about. But then things sort of took a turn that, in hindsight, I should have expected. And as I've explained on Twitter, I should have I probably should never have been there in the first place, because the Joey Ryan's bit coming out and what he does. I mean, I knew about his gimmick, but I didn't think it through. And as I was there watching these giant phalluses line up on stage and then him come out and do what he does, I was picturing my grandmother Teenie sitting next to me and what she would be saying. And I just realized I needed to go, and I just I could not imagine her being okay with that, you know. And I personally, I'm not easily offended. I think it's playing. I think it's ridiculous. I sort of share Cornette views on it, but again, I didn't think it through, and I just couldn't imagine my grandmother being proud of me representing her at an event where that was going on. And right or wrong, I made a decision right then and there that I had to go. And I left the show. I went to the front desk and I asked them to have somebody meet me down at the vendor room with a key, so that I could pack up my stuff. And I left. But before I left, I realized there were quite a few people, or at least I mean, it's quite a few, there were three or four that I had promised I would be there on Sunday. And so I felt bad for backing out on that. I don't like saying I'm going to do something and then not. And I guess I did that when I left StarCast, because I had committed to being there for 4 days. But it was trying to keep my dead grandmother from being mad at me that led me to make the decision to leave. But it was the decision. A realization that I had made in other obligations to specific folks that wanted to come back and talk to me and get a book, that I decided to put, I wrote on the back of my price sheet that I had up, I turned it over, and I wrote a note and said, hey, I've realized that I need to go, and I'm sorry about that, but if you want to get in touch with me, and I left my email address on it, and I offered to sell a book for a little bit less than what I was selling it at the show, because I felt bad that there were a few people that were not going to be able to get one, and I knew they wanted one. And then I also expected the folks at StarCast to see that and take it down probably before anybody was going to see it. So I tweeted it out, and thinking, well, you know, if they go looking for the story as to why I'm not there, they can look at it on my Facebook page, and they can look at it on my Twitter feed and understand why I left. But then I made maybe a questionable decision to pass it on to my friend Jim Cornette, because, well, I don't know why, but I did. And he doesn't normally retweet my things. Like, I didn't really expect him to do with it other than get a giggle out of it. But again, I didn't think it through. And I know he has a huge problem with Joey Ryan and a lot of the things that are part of the independent wrestling scene right now. And I should have known that he would use sort of spread his own message. But that's not what I intended. I really, you know, I think the Joey Ryan stuff is stupid. I guess it's kind of funny, but it's to me, it's something that shows that it should be on Saturday Night Live. For making fun of wrestling as opposed to part of an actual professional wrestling event. And for me, that's not professional wrestling. That's sports entertainment. And I have never had any interest in sports entertainment. I don't watch WWE. I don't watch Impact, or, you know, I haven't watched wrestling since I was a kid. And so, you know, I don't, if that's what you like, that's great. It's not what I like. And the big thing was me picturing my grandmother sitting next to me and feeling like she would be ashamed of me for promoting my book about her at an event like that. So I decided to call it quits.
Well, I respect your opinion. I mean, if you feel like that's the way you felt, Joey Ryan doesn't bother me. The gimmick doesn't bother me. I kind of thought the penises were out of place. But after looking at the show overall, we were at a sports entertainment, and Meltzer made this comment, and I think it's true that we weren't at a wrestling event. We were at a sports entertainment event, which was kind of funny since, you know, we're supposed to be the anti-WWE revolting crew there at All In, but that was kind of what it was. They didn't offend me. And we talked about something about your grandmother being so I'm going to be devil's advocate here, and it just popped in my mind something that we talked about and what your response would be. If you had the opportunity, knowing that your grandmother hated Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he said, "Look, Brendan, I want to appear at a con with you. I'm going to sit right with you during the whole con, and we're going to sell your books together. Would you do it with Stone Cold?"
Absolutely not. I mean, the only scenario in which I could imagine that happening is if he decided that what he did, you know, in the way he went about wrestling and his impact on it. I mean, what she didn't like was the foul language. You know, if he'd had some, you know, major, you know, revelation to say, "I was wrong, Miss Jarrett was right, I never should have helped take wrestling in the direction that I did," then maybe. I'm not saying yes, but maybe. But, like, if he's just there to be who he is but help draw people into my booth, no, I'm not looking to, I mean, don't get me wrong, I would love to be on the bestseller list, right? I would love for there to be a movie made about Teeny, but the reason why I want that is because I want everybody to know who Teeny is. I mean, I don't make much money at all selling these books. And I sold, just to put it in perspective, I didn't sell enough books to pay for my rental car at Starcast, much less the plane, the booth fee, the hotel and food and all that. I mean, I don't ever break even. I don't ever even come close to breaking even. And I hadn't sold total more, you know, it's been less than 1,000 books. It's considerably less than 1,000 books total since I started doing this. So this is not something that I'm doing in order to get rich. This is something that I'm doing in order to promote my grandmother's name and secure her place in wrestling history. So, you know, there's not any amount of money in the world that Stone Cold Steve Austin could offer me to just so that I could sell more books. It's you know, and because that would really be going against what Teeny wants, and I'm just not going to do that.
Hey, I appreciate the honesty, and I appreciate you coming on and telling it. Like I said, we seen it on Twitter. I had people message me on Facebook and said, "You know that guy that you had on your show?" Got a few DMs that said, "Do you know that guy? He walked out."
Yeah.
So that was one of those things. And you know, we're doing a couple of Star. We already did one about Starcast, and I'm talking to Gene right now, and we're going to. This is our second show, just talking about it. And give them different perspectives of it, you know, and so that we let everyone know what happened. I want you to just do something real quick. Tell everyone how they can get the book again. And then, guys, I do appreciate you coming on. Like I said, me and you don't see eye to eye on this, but I didn't want – I had too many listeners contact me. I wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth, and I did. I enjoyed meeting you. You were just – let me tell you guys, this is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. So – if you have principles and other people don't, like myself, it doesn't make me dislike you. It just, I mean, I respect your opinion and everything. We just don't agree on this part. But go ahead, tell them how to get the book. It's a fantastic book.
Well, I will, and I appreciate you giving me that chance to promote the book. But I just want to be clear. It's like I'm not a prude here. Like I don't care that, you know, I wasn't personally offended by it. I was concerned that my dead grandmother would be offended by it.
Yeah, and I get it. Yeah.
And so I don't want to, you know, put the wrong message out there because I'm far from perfect. And I enjoy the fact that there's a lot of folks that disagree with what I did. And I've had a lot of really good conversations on Twitter, surprisingly. I mean, I can't believe the civility with which most of the people who disagreed with me engaged with me over the weekend to talk about it. There's a few who have said some nasty things that I just ignore those, but the folks that have talked to me about it, I've had a lot of really good conversations on Twitter. So anyway, if I haven't completely turned you off the book, or if you'd like to know more about Christine Teenie Jarrett and what she did, the name of the book is Teenie, Professional Wrestling's Grand Dame. It's available on Amazon in paperback, Kindle, and audiobook. And if you want an audiobook, you can also get it direct from Audible or on iTunes.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining me again, Brendan. Guys, we're going to go to a quick commercial. And when we come back from that commercial, we're going to have Gene right back here in the studio. Hey, have you used that that app Uber Eats?
No, I haven't.
Man, that's pretty awesome. You know, Uber's famous for, taking over the cab industry. So it looks like now they're taking over the food delivery industry.
Really?
Yeah, what you can do is you can download the app, and you can order from tons of places. I actually ordered from McDonald's today, got a 20-piece McNugget delivered to my house.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, it's awesome. The big thing is that you can put in a code that I provide for you, and you'll get $5 off your first order.
$5? Wow.
Yes, a whole $5. It's Eats, E-A-T-S, dash, Brian T, 24790-U-E. That's Eats, dash, Brian, B-R-I-A-N-T, 24790-U-E. Put that code in, you get $5 off.
That's awesome. I'm so excited.
All right, guys, download the app, put in the code, and save $5 on Uber Eats.
American Hostile Championship Wrestling presents Fall Brawl 2018 on October 6th. In Kenner, Missouri. Doors open at 6, bell time 7:30. Event will be held at the American Legion Building, 1615 First Street. Featuring WWE Hall of Famer Coco Beware, Memphis wrestling icon Bill Superstar Dundee, All In Sensation Marco Stunt, along with stars such as Austin Lane, Missouri Bad Boys, Naughty by Nature Rude. That's October the 6th, 2018, Kenner, Missouri. 1615 First Street, the American Legion Building. Doors open at 6, bell time 7:30. Be there.
All right, we're back with Gene. Hey, Gene, thanks for letting me bring Brendan in here and talk about his experience at StarCast. And I got a question for you, Gene. Do penises offend you? That's what I want to know.
Offend me? Typically not. I mean, I guess it depends on the context.
Well, do big walking penises offend you?
In that instance, they didn't. Let's just say that. That's the only time I've encountered them. I don't, I guess in certain situations they might, but I was okay with it. I got a laugh out of it, but, to each their own, right?
I mentioned this while I was talking to Brendan, but I was listening to Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer after the show to see what they thought of the show. And Dave made a point that I was that me and Lance was talking, but he made a better point about it, was that I thought when we went to this show it was going to be work rate. Kind of like a New Japan show that was going to have balls to the wall. And he said it right. It was sports entertainment. We had a sports entertainment show, and it was, I don't watch Being the Elite. I think if I watched that, I would have probably got some of the storylines and liked it even better. But I had a great time with the show. I thought it was thumbs up, real happy for what was accomplished, and felt like, I felt like I was there, experienced something very special.
I was really shocked and disappointed in how much negativity there was online Sunday and all these groups and everything. I mean, there's always a fair share of it, but man, it was way worse than I expected. I really was disappointed. It's like, man, if people didn't enjoy that, once you find a new freaking hobby, go watch some other shit. I mean, my God, I ain't saying it's the best show ever, but there was not that much wrong with that show for people to bitch about it as much as they have.
I seen them bitching about the main event, and because the pay-per-view win, I seen that bitching mainly The penises did get a lot of, I can't believe this, you know, the old Jim Cornette. I love Jim Cornette, but he's stuck in the past. And he's never going to like any of the, you know, the stuff now. And that's one of the things, they mentioned this on the panel with Meltzer, Keller, and all of them. There is, and we say this all the time with Cool Kids, there's so much shit right now that you can watch wrestling-wise. Why? I mean, I don't watch the WWE television anymore. I watch the pay-per-views. The one that told me, hey, all I do is watch the recaps. I can watch the pay-per-view, and I know what's going on. I kind of jumped in on the bandwagon to do that now. When I have free time, I watch what I want to watch because there's so much stuff, and that's the way I thought about All In. I mean, there was so much good stuff on the show. There's something there for everyone. It was a brawl. There was the penises. There was the, you know, Pentagon with Jericho. Everything. I thought it was a fun, like you said, not the greatest show ever, but it did feel like we was there with, you know, something special going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And not every minute of every show has to be for everybody. Like you say, there's something for everybody. But everybody's got to get up and take a piss sometime. If you don't like what's going on right now, then go take a piss, grab a drink, and by the time you come back, something better will be on.
True, true, true. And I, you know, I always talked about when I was promoting shows, I didn't always like, you know, just the muscle guys. I didn't want to just put a bunch of muscle guys on the show or a bunch of this. You know, I had the fat guys, the skinny guys, the brawlers, the guys that did a wrestling match kind of thing. So I like Kamala, you know, I liked Bobby Eaton. I liked Jerry Lawler. I liked, you know, the Four Horsemen. All totally different, but that was what I liked about wrestling. You mentioned it a little bit. I want to go ahead. I don't remember. I think we said something about this in the car, but I want you to tell all the listeners about your ICP event because I kind of know what happened, but I kind of don't. So tell everyone what happened. Start at the top and go all the way through this one.
All right, I'll try to make it faster than it actually was because, dear God, it was an entire night of our lives that we lost. So, you know, I kind of like their music, and I do enjoy like the JCW and the Stranglemania videos and all that kind of goofy stuff that would make, you know, Jim Cornette slit his wrist. And so when we found out they were going to be at StarCast, like, when the hell do you ever get to meet ICP? We got to do this. And so I buy the meet and greet, pondered getting the eat and greet thing and opted not to, thank God. But then I realized when everything comes together, crap, it's going to be going on during the Bruce Pritchard roast, which was something I really wanted to go to, but it just wasn't going to work out. So we go... the meet and greet with ICP was supposed to start at 8. We go get in line at 7. And at 7:45, Zane Riley, who had been running the line all day, some people know who that is, came out and said, hey, they're going to be a little late. It's going to be about 8:15, 8:20. Okay, fair enough. Right. So 8:15, 8:20 rolls around. Hey, they're going to be a little later than they thought, about 8:30, 8:45. Yeah, it gets a groan. Finally, they move us out of the hallway into the room, which was much more air-conditioned and comfortable than the hallway we were in. So we get in that room. Everybody's a little happier that it's cooler. And they're like, hey, they're over there doing some kind of storyteller thing for Fight TV. If you turn on your Fight TV app right now, you can watch it, but that's where they're at. They'll be over here shortly. And so the guy in front of me was like, yeah, you know, they no-showed the eat and greet. I'm like, what? And they're like, they no-showed the eat and greet. I'm like, wow, really? I'm like, yeah. So finally, it gets to be after 9 o'clock. People are tweeting hateful stuff. I'm watching it on my phone. I added a couple of my own. And they come in the room at like 9:15, 9:20, and they go, hey, we got to take everybody out in the hall so we can bring them in. It's like, what the fuck you mean, take us in the hall so you can bring them in? They're like, well, they got to bring the eat and greet people in first and kind of make theirs up, and then they're going to bring you guys in. So everybody goes out in the hall. So by now, this thing was supposed to start at 8. This is like 9:30, 9:45. We've all been in line, most of us, since, you know, 7 or before. So at this point, people who were all lined up to meet ICP are all like, man, fuck ICP. Like, it's a wonder they didn't get jumped when they walked in there. So they take us and we go line back up in the hall, and they bring the six or seven people that it was that were supposed to be at their eat and greet. And they take them in the room, and they all come out just stomping out. They're in there for less than a minute, and they all start coming out, and they all look pissed. And the one guy looks over at us, and he's like, well, get ready. All they do is have you lean across the table and snap the picture. Like, you can't even, like, they don't stand up. They're just, like, you just lean across the table and take a picture. You know, we paid $130 for this bullshit and go stomping off the hall. Like, wow. So, Rosie's already pissed. I'm not in a great mood. And so we go in. Well, they figured out by the time we got in there, because we were about 20th in line, I guess. I guess they finally figured some of that out, because we went in there. They were letting people come behind the table and stand next to them, and they were standing up out of their chair and all this. And so we finally get in there, and they got this little jam box playing their music, and it was just funny to me, because it would have sounded better if somebody would have played it out of their phone, because it was like one of those little bitty jam boxes like you buy at the drugstore for $20.
Oh my god!
And so, and you know how much, like, you know how their songs are. So you just come in the room, it's like in the background, and you walk up to them and, you know, shake their hand. Nice guys. You could tell they kind of felt bad about the situation. It was awkward, and got our picture with them. And we were supposed to go to Stranglemania Live at 10 o'clock. Well, it was 5 minutes till 10 when we walked out of there. And so I look at Rosie, I'm like, so we going to Stranglemania? Fuck Stranglemania. Let's go to our room. So we went back to the room and didn't go to anything else that night. And I thought that was going to be the worst night, you know, yet. And then we go and get ourselves stranded at the Sears Center the next night and end up not eating any dinner. We because ODB's food truck was supposed to be there, and we got there and it was gone. Come to find out, it was around back, but we didn't know that. And the food situation was just a whole nother gripe about the whole weekend. But I'm not even going to go there. I told this,
I think, on the podcast the other day with Lance, that me and the wife make sandwiches and put in backpacks when we go to these things, because we went to the first one and there was nothing below, like, you know, $20 to eat, and I was just stupid to do that. And hey, dude, you should have tried Uber Eats that night. I just did that commercial a few minutes ago. So it gives you $5 off if you're ever stranded at a hotel again. They deliver everything. So, yeah, you know, get 20 McNuggets delivered. And by the way, I do appreciate the cash you guys gave me. I had McDonald's that night. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. It was worth every penny.
Since you do a lot of the meet and greets, and you did tons of them here, was there, and I always like asking a couple of stupid questions about them, but and I remember you saying something in the car about that seemed like that was just boom, boom, boom on these. Did they just put y'all through it and say, hey, how you doing? There wasn't no Greek to it, or there wasn't no meeting to it. It was just getting the picture, right?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, they was herding you through there like cattle for the most part. Some people, you know, made sure to stop and ask a bunch of questions, but then they got a bunch of eye rolls and people mad behind them. The Kenny Omega Bushi thing was the quickest I've ever been through in my life, including like Dusty and Charlotte and some of those where there was tons of people. But like literally, it was an assembly line. Like when you walked up, one guy grabbed whatever you were getting signed. And then another person grabbed your camera, and another person herded you over, stood you right behind them. They looked up for 2 seconds from what they were signing, smiled for the picture. They clicked the picture. They handed you your stuff, and they shove you out the other side, like just fire you out the other side. It was like boom, 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 boom. But hey, they got a lot of people through there. And, you know, meanwhile, if you didn't do that, there was guys in front of us that had just bags full of Kenny Omega pops and Kenny Omega Japanese dolls and magazines. And like one guy would have stood there for 30 minutes getting shit signed. So I kind of, at that point in the game, I appreciated it. And I'm like, keep it going. We got to get on to the next one. We had four more lined up.
They have a limit to how much, I mean, you could get one thing signed in a picture, right? Is that the way it works?
Yeah. And see, like at WrestleCade and most of the others, you can pay 10, 20 bucks and get extra stuff signed. So WrestleCade, you're in line, and for instance, we were at WrestleCade 2 years ago. We were in line for Harlem Heat. So this guy walks up and he's paid all his extra money to do this. And so he's got like four WWE encyclopedias. He's got some action figures and some magazines. So I'm looking at Booker T and he rolls his eyes as soon as the guy comes and plops the shit on the table. And Booker T signs it all real quick, slides it over to Stevie. And so Stevie's like, "Where'd you get this?" And the guy's like, "Oh, I got this at so-and-so." And he's like, "Oh, I ain't seen that before." And he starts looking at the doll and he looks at the back of it. And I see like Booker T is like just kind of swelling up, like you can see on his face. And so he's staying calm. And then finally, like the last one, he hands Stevie that encyclopedia and Stevie like flips the page and he's like, "Who else is in here?" And Booker goes, "Fuck, Stevie, we got a line." And he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." And he started handing the guy stuff and the guy's like sulking down. And Booker T looks at me because we were next. He looked at me and said, "Sorry about the outburst." And I'm like, "No, dude, I was thinking the same exact thing." He just smiled real big. And we brought us on up there. But that was one of the most extreme examples of that, where somebody had 50 things to get signed and it was just tense for everybody. Because it's like, dude, we're all waiting, man. Like, you can't get 50 things signed. But that was kind of an upshot to me. Like, it really wasn't a bad thing that they were limiting that and moving everybody through. Because I'm not really one of those, "Hey, let's have a moment. Shake their hand. Nice to meet you. Thanks. You know, have a good day." But, you know, you get these people that walk up there like, it's like the Chris Farley show on Saturday Night. "Like, hey, Dusty, remember when you had that cage match with Rick Bash in 1986? Yeah, that was awesome." Greatest Q&A question I've ever heard was in Charlotte. A guy comes up and asks Cornette, "Hey, Jim, why did you throw the fireball in Ronnie Garvin's face?" And without missing a beat, Cornette goes, "Have you ever seen Garvin's fucking face? That was an improvement." And the guy goes, "Thanks," and goes and sits down.
You know, I was listening. You're talking about this, and all I could think about, I was listening to a podcast. I think it was Colt, and he was talking to Cody. This was right when Cody went, had left the WWE, and he was talking about that was one of the most uncomfortable things for him to do was the gimmicks table. Right. You know, and signing everything and talking to people, it was just very strange because he's just not used to doing it, and it was but it's weird because, you know, when I was a kid, I can remember the Fabs coming out, all kinds of guys like that. And then in the Nightmares, especially the Nightmares, talking about when they were in Continental, Danny Davis and Ken Wayne, where they would sign for, you know, the whole intermission and just sell shitload of stuff. So that's where all that came from. And so of all the people, was there, number one, I got to ask you, were there any assholes this weekend that you met that you to meet and greet?
Rosie felt like Brian Cage was. I didn't get that upset about it.
Oh, well, yeah, you got to tell. I remember this story. You got to tell this part story, so tell this one.
Okay, so at every one of these things we've ever gone to, the rule has always been you can buy one meet and greet and get one picture signed, but two people can be in the picture, like, you know, husband and wife, you know, kid and their son, you know, whatever, a kid and their son, a father and their son, or whatever. And it's never been an issue. I mean, all these things, we've met 300 people. And so we go up to Brian Cage and we hand him our meet and greet ticket and he signs a picture and we both walk around the table and he goes, wait a minute, which one of y'all is getting in the picture? And I said, both of us. And he goes, well, you got to pay extra for that. I go, what? He goes, you got to pay extra for having more than one person in the picture. I go, oh, fuck it. She can be in the picture. And I just stepped out of it. And the girl clicked the picture. And as soon as we're walking out there, because bless her heart, Rosie, people think I'm the hothead. Rosie's way, way more of a hothead than I am. So all the way out the door, she's like, fuck Brian Cage, money grubbing motherfucker. And so, like, she can't stand Brian Cage. And, like, we were at All In. And, like, she was, like, happy when he got eliminated and shit, you know? It's like just like that meet and greet thing we talked about with AJ Styles. Like, she's hated AJ Styles ever since just because he was in a bad mood that night. But so Brian Cage is, I guess, the only person you can say, if you can say that, was a dick. Other than that, everybody was super cool. Ellsworth was really, really nice and was just way enthused about my Andy Kaufman shirt that I had. And
awesome.
And wanted to know where he could get one. And Gail Kim was sweet. She was going on about my accent, which I don't really feel like I have an accent, but yeah, I guess it's okay. Chicago, I do.
Okay, so, you know, I got to ask, you know, did Gail Kim smell good?
She did. She did.
Good deal. You know, we had some that looked just like, and I hate to say this in this day and age, since I'll probably piss off somebody. There was three rats at the show, and I did say rats, guys. And I want to tell you, they smelled good, Gene. All three of them did. Even the guy. But they all three, no. There was three girls. They were all decked out, and all I could think of was the early 80s and the rats that I would see. So, hey, man, we've had a whole – we spent about 15 minutes with Brendan, 30 minutes with you. We're going to call it quits. But first, before I do my five catchphrases – okay, I only have three. But go ahead and tell about Locals to Legends, which Gene actually wore the – I forgot. I've got to ask you about this because you mentioned this in the car, the one of the things I do remember. So you wore your shirt that Spunkaloo sponsored for you, and it's actually what we stole that from you. You came up saying in Cool Kids that we should have shirts that say All In with Spunk Lube. So it said on the shirt, All In with SpunkLube.com, and it had your Locals of Legends logo on it, and you wore it to All In, right?
I did. I come the day of the show, and I'm like, what am I going to wear to All In? I already wore my Bullet Club shirt. And so I told Rosie kind of jokingly, I thought she's gonna be like, no, don't wear that. I go, I'm gonna wear my Locals Legend Spunk Lube shirt. She's like, cool. I'm like, you're not gonna be embarrassed to be seen with me? She's like, no, I don't care. So I put it on, and as soon as we go down, like, I didn't realize how much people read t-shirts, but like everybody we walked by, I seen them reading it, and a couple of them kind of grimaced. And then one, I got in the elevator, and this guy standing across from me looks at my shirt, and he goes, what's Spunk Lube? And I go, it's exactly what it fucking sounds like. And he goes, ugh. And that was it. And, you know, I shared an elevator with Pat Patterson one during the weekend, so thank God I wasn't wearing the Spunk Lube shirt then, because that could have led to a very uncomfortable conversation, I'm sure. And it's funny, when I recorded a video down in the bar with Brian Pillman Jr. to promote him being on my show,
I seen that.
And the video, if you look at the picture that's up, it almost looks like he's like looking at the shirt like, what the fuck, you know? So.
Well, Disco, we mentioned this. Disco actually put it over it on Fight TV. So he said, oh, this is Shooting the Shiznit guy. And what's Spunk Lube?
Well, that paid for the shirts right there.
They're happy. Right there, buddy. Yeah, they're happy with me, all the stuff I've done for them. So, okay, we're going to go ahead and get off here, but go ahead and put your we always say localslegends.com, but I want you to put over who have you been interviewing lately, and then tell everyone how to get to localslegends.com, which I said it like three times, but go ahead.
The website is localslegends.com. It's Locals to Legends Wrestling Radio, which is a spinoff of Cheap Heat Radio, which started way back in the day, back in 2007, before there were 5,000 wrestling podcasts. I was one of the first six. But I've done more Locals than Legends, if you will, because that's kind of the deal on the podcast, is I interview anybody from local wrestlers to guys like, you know, I've had Bruno Sammartino on, Jimmy Hart, Jim Cornette. I guess most recently, Madman Pondo was on. Right before StarCast, I had my buddy Cassio Kidd on, who's relevant to a lot of StarCast people because he's like Conrad Thompson's best friend, and he does cameos on What Happened When with Tony Schiavone and stuff like that. But we do at least one show a week. Every once in a while, we'll pop two of them out there, like we did this week, because me and Rosie, when we were making our 15-hour drive home, decided to do these podcasts, so they were like an hour and a half each. And so they're both up there at localslegends.com. There's one called the All In Experience, and the other's called the StarCast Experience. And it's me and her talking about our experience there. And I hope, you know, people take away from it. Overall, our StarCast experience was positive. It was just frustrating at times, but overall, I enjoyed it. We got a chance to meet. I mean, where else are you going to meet freaking the greatest world champion of our generation, David Arquette? Where else are you going to meet him at besides StarCast, right? He's a freaking legend.
I hate it that I didn't even try to do a meet and greet with him. I've tried to get him on the podcast a couple of times, and it's like I start the conversation, but it never happens. I kind of kicked myself in the ass for not getting my business card out to a couple other people that were there. But, you know, hey, you don't always want to, you know, bother them. I feel like sometimes I'm bothering people to ask them to be on the podcast. But, you know, that's what we do. So
there's so many now, and there's so many, like, stars with podcasts. Like, I feel awkward asking. Dude, because people ask me, like, how did you get some of the guests? Like, Neil has asked me a long time ago, like, how did you get some of the guests you got early on? He's like, you had some pretty good names on there. Well, I was like, I would just send them a message and ask them. And I'm like, most guys are big enough marks for themselves and like to hear themselves talk that they would do it. I was like, but now everybody under the sun has a podcast. So people are getting just, you know, hit with podcast requests every time they turn around. I'm like, so now I feel a little more, way more awkward about it than I ever did in the past. So
that's why I always say, I just, you know, thank you to the listeners. Thank you, listeners, kind of thing. Because, I mean, if you could just get a niche of people that are listening to what we're doing. And then, you know, I had Brendan back on here because someone had, you know, I got messages in Facebook. He walked out of StarCast. So I had people, it feels like I have a responsibility to, you know, let the listeners hear what the hell is going on. But that's with me. Anybody that listens to us is listening to me and you talk all the way to the end here. We do appreciate it. And as I always say, we'll be here same bad time, same bad channel on the best little wrestling podcast in the business. Be there! And Gene, you
big
know,
move.
You know I love my mama. Like Mr. T.
Damn right.
Thank you for joining us. Another great episode of Shooting the Shiznit. That's right. Always, we're looking for contestants for Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever. Reminder, we have merch.com, shirts at $12.99, and sizes up to 6XL. A big shout out to our sponsor, SpunkLube.com, for providing our shirts for All In and sponsoring the show this month. We do have Patreon. You can go to Shooting the Shiznit. We're looking for 10, that's right, 10 people to be Patreons, and then we'll start putting up some material up there. A big shout out and a thank you to Bob McGee at Pro Wrestling's Between the Sheets, Gene Jackson at localstolegends.com, Sean Garmer at Wrestling to Max website, and also Wrestling News Center. You can reach me at Comic Book Mark BT on Twitter, at BT Shooting the Shiznit. Facebook, you'll find the Shooting the Shiznit page, and also the Cool Kids Wrestling and MMA Talk Facebook group. You can listen to all the archives at stspod.club, or we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Spreaker. Did I say Spreaker, Stitcher, and all the other podcast players? A shout out to Creative Control. That's right, Creative Control with JoJo. He's also on Keeping It 100, some of my favorite podcasts. And my buddy P3 Radio with Max. That's right. Two non-wrestling podcasts. That's Who's Right Podcast and Po' Boys Podcast. Check them out. Thank you and good night.